Chapter 186. She was crying in the stables, saying she had to protect them. Blackwall says, "You can tell everyone to stop looking. I don't think she's going anywhere. At least not until she stopped crying." "What?" Blackwall shrugs. Colin turns to Dorian, as if Dorian would know what that means. "She wanted to protect the foals and whatnot," Stitches says from behind Blackwall. Colin waves him in, Blackwall stepping aside before shrugging again. "I'm going to make sure she doesn't do anything," he says. She was crying because she couldn't believe that we didn't have guards for the foals, and Nuglets and various other baby mounts. Stitches says, standing by the commander's desk as Colin drags his fingers over his face and through his hair, whispering something that might be prayers or curses or something in between. Then she started crying harder because she shouldn't have drunk so much, because now she can't protect them and she wants to know if this makes her a bad person. Rocky's voice yells from somewhere down below, echoing up. "She got to the pups!" Cullen's head hits his desk with a hollow thud. Dorian wonders if this is a bad time to offer him a drink. Then he wonders if this is a good time for him to leave and go back to arguing with Josephine over Defer's decorating advice. Dorian doesn't know much about interior decorating. His field of study was much more book-oriented, and his understanding of politics deals more with flowers and letters and gossip. But he'll be damned if he lets Defer dictate their living quarters. "She's crying because she can't hold them all, and that means one or two of them might get hurt if she ever has to grab them and run," Rocky yells. "She's on the floor." "Dorian," Cullen says. "No," Dorian replies, because he's not a sucker, nor is he stupid or drunk enough for these shenanigans. "Send Bull. He deals with crazy drunkards all the time. Better yet, send Cassandra. She has quite the sobering presence." Cullen and Stitches just stare at him. Because, point. Cassandra's presence may be sobering, but since when did Llewellyn follow such rules? For all they know, her drunken sobbing is infectious. "Isn't she supposed to be a sleepy drunk?" Dorian says. "Not if you get her started on animals," Stitches replies. Both of them still looking at him. "I humbly and regretfully regret not being regretful. Decline," Dorian says, turning around to walk back to the peace and relative sanctuary of the archives. "Stitches," the commander says. "Yes, sir," Stitches says. "Shit," Dorian says, and breaks out into a run, because he's absolutely 100% certain he can outrun Stitches. For fuck's sake, if he can banter, throw spells, and still run faster than Bull and Cassandra, he can outrun Stitches. Dorian swears to Andraste, the Maker, and anyone and everyone in between that he needs to get a barred door installed into every alcove in this archive, and a large, burning sign that says this is a library and people should behave with appropriate conduct, which means no screaming, no stomping, no birds, no yelling, and no acts of violence that could endanger the books. "Hello, Cassandra. How may I help you today?" Dorian says, and wonders if whoever built this castle knew that someday he would be cornered in this exact spot and built the windows the exact size they are so they could taunt him with the possibility of escape and also the impossibility of escape because his bones aren't liquid. "She's asking about blood magic, Tevinter," Cassandra says. And Dorian closes his eyes and prays for his end to be swift and painless. "She wants to understand it," Dorian says, because he apparently can't stop running his mouth in the face of death. The key to defeating an opponent is understanding your opponent. Isn't that common knowledge? She doesn't know much about blood magic, so she wants to know how it works, so she can figure out weaknesses. So on and so forth. Tactics. It's clever, really. Dorian was probably as surprised as anyone when Llewellyn asked him about it, because apparently Solas doesn't know much, and you should always ask the most reliable source first. If she turns into a Maleficar... Dorian refrains from pointing out that both the hero of Ferelden and the champion of Kirkwall were known Maleficars. Excused due to extenuating circumstances. Which Dorian thinks should apply here. If anyone has extenuating circumstances, it's Llewellyn. Yes, yes, you'll destroy me so utterly that my ashes won't be existent. Please stop looming like that and take your clanking armor elsewhere. Bull sighs and tucks Cole under one arm and reaches out to drag Sarah in with the other. Come on, he says, because these two aren't going to make it without help. They're small things, frail things. Bull sometimes doesn't know how humans and elves made it this far, gotten into so many places when they're so damn finicky. Sarah's teeth are locked with chattering, and Colt doesn't know enough about being, not a full spirit, to recognize when his physical form tells him it's about to riot. Blackwell's got Llewellyn at his back somewhere behind them, and Bull swears that the next time Llewellyn asks them to go climb a goddamn mountain, he's going to talk some sense into her about doing this kind of shit in the middle of a heavy snowfall. Sarah presses against his side, as he does his best to block them from the wind, and make it easier for them to follow. And Cole is a little stiff under his arm. Bull can almost imagine the little trail of confused and baffled thoughts the kid always gets whenever someone does something for him. Bull's gonna have to talk some sense into him about that, too. There's a lot of people who need some sense talked or shaken or punched into them in these parts. The Kuhn would have a fucking field day. Bull sighs, and it's freezing as shit. But there's the promise of dragons, so... there's that.